It started with a whisper.
He should have been hauled off, I reckon, about 10 balls before that. He actually showed a real lack of intent to actually even try and score.
But no one at Cricket Australia, and even now, their past chairmen are squabbling with current chairmen. It's such a messy situation that I think should have been addressed 3 years ago.
If he just says, this is the situation, I'm resigning from captain, well, let's do the week or 2 weeks of turmoil and then we can move on with the cricket.
I said, oh, Dennis, let's let you know that it's time. I'm going to pull the pin and retire. He paused for a bit. He looked at me and says, geez, I think you made the right call.
On RSN Central, welcome to the Tuesday Forum.
Let's welcome in the team. First of all, hello to you, Johnny Ralph. Thanks for the Ascot Vale Hotel and, of course, the Herald Sun.
Hello, Gareth. Fantastic to be with you.
And hello to you, Courtney Walsh.
Yeah, good morning, Gareth. Good morning, John. Dare I say it, another big week in sport.
Just a little bit going on these days, Walsh. I might start off with you with the Tim Payne situation. He played for Tasmania's second 11 in Hobart there yesterday. He took six catches and he kept beautifully, I thought. So if he continues to display that type of form, I would imagine he'll be playing in that first test for Australia against England in the Ashes.
And has another chance today, but certainly allayed, I suppose, some fears in terms of how he's come back physically. The Tasmanian selectors had said beforehand that he wouldn't be playing a second 11 game if there was any doubt about his fitness. So that's allayed. Clearly his form was good yesterday in terms of that. I guess at 36, 37, it's always interesting to see how you pull up after your first day physical activity. He might be a little sore today. I suspect the hamstrings might be a little tight, but an encouraging start if he's the man that's going to be keeping in the first test in Brisbane December 8, which is the date of his 37th birthday.
Johnny Ralph, it's been an issue, I think, that's divided the Australian public.
It certainly has. I think there's been a lot of people out there that have said, oh, well, two consenting adults. I just look at the balance of power and how a bloke who was playing an Ashes test, and let's face it, it's unfathomable that he was sending dick pics on the morning of that Ashes, only an hour or two before. But I know a lot of people said it's consenting. I just think about the situation this young staffer was in with an Australian test player and how, you know, what was a very, you know, innocent exchange about, you know, picking up different equipment turned into that, and how she would have been thinking to herself, I can go and tell Tim Payne, test player, to get stuffed. But what are the ramifications for me and for my career there? And so, I think it's just really, it's really unfair to think that, you know, that she had any part in this. And then, of course, when that dick pic was sent, she was mortified and she made an official complaint. So, you know, there are so many questions. One of them for me is, you know, how was it seen to be an exchange of text between consenting adults when she officially complained about it? I think the other thing I've been thinking over the weekend is the Australian Cricket's authorities...
That, Johnny, sorry, just to interrupt. There was an investigation into that situation, and there was no findings of any sexual harassment by Tim Payne.
No, I mean, look, sexual harassment's a pretty strong term, isn't it? But, I mean,
correct.
The fact that she made a complaint, you know, I think if we all had our druthers, then she would have participated in that investigation and we might have had, you know, a better understanding of exactly what happened. You know, you always feel, you know, a bit wary when an authority investigates itself. I don't know, it was Cricket Australia's integrity team. But, yeah, so there's a lot of regrets along the way. I think that the thing that I've been brewing on over the weekend is that Cricket Australia felt like this was an issue that they would be able to put to bed. They felt like, in the balance of probabilities, they would be able to keep this, having swept it under the carpet, would be able to keep it secret. So are they incredibly naive, or have we had a lot of these issues that have occurred over the last 15 years that we, the Australian public, have just never been able to find out about it? Because, you know, maybe that's been the case. If not, I just think it was extraordinarily stupid of them to think that, you know, with this issue rearing its head, you know, in the private, with questions about it from the media, as Tim himself said, every major series, I just think it was just incredibly stupid of them to think that this was not going to play out how it eventually played out on Friday afternoon.
I just can't get my head around it. It was that the situation happened an hour before a test match.
Been doing warm-ups? Wasn't there something else he could have been doing?
What kind of preparation is that? They get to the ground about 2 hours or 3 hours earlier, don't they?
Yeah.
Before the first ball.
Yeah, absolutely. So what would have happened, Gareth, if this had been the scenario? So, you know, he captains Australia. They find out within a few tests that he actually has had been involved in this issue. At the right time, in the next 6 to 12 months, he stands down and says, it's been the greatest honour of my life, but I want to concentrate on my cricket. You know, I want to concentrate on my keeping. Now, subsequent to that, it comes out that, you know, this issue has occurred. And he says at that stage, you know what? The reason I stood down as Australian Test captain is I had this in my past. I didn't feel comfortable. I knew it was a great mistake. How would we be going now? Would we feel like Tim Payne at least had done the right thing, even if he hadn't fessed up about it publicly when he did stand down and the reasons behind it?
He was uncontracted at the time when it happened, and there was a full investigation by Cricket Australia and Cricket Tasmania at the time, and he was all clear to play on and continue to play cricket for Tassie and then to Australia. I just find it really difficult how they haven't had a plan to work out what would happen if it did come out public. So, yeah, I just think it's been a complete nightmare from a PR disaster for Cricket Australia. It's up to everybody's opinion regarding whether Tim Payne was fit enough to be the captain of this country. But I thought he did a wonderful job, Courtney, leading this country in one of its toughest periods. In fact, probably its toughest period. So I think it's just a sad situation, basically, for everybody involved.
I don't doubt that he was the, in terms of his captaincy, I think, exceptionally good to retain the Ashes last year. I know that Australia lost the Test series to India, and, you know, under pressure, he probably said a couple of things and maybe dropped a couple of catches, but he also batted exceptionally well in the series last summer. And to come from that crisis, arguably the greatest crisis Australian cricket has seen, I don't think he can dispute the actual on-field leadership through his time, you know, maybe a query here or there aside. So in that regard, you know, absolutely. It's certainly big shoes to fill in terms of the on-field role and who that person will be. It's fascinating to see.
Steve Smith says Cricket Australia's Nick Hockley says that Steve Smith is in consideration of getting the captaincy back, Ralphie. Do you think that would be a good move?
I'd make Steve Smith the captain. Yeah, I think it's a no-brainer. You know, for all the discussions we've had about Tim Payne, I'm big on second chances, and, you know, we've seen the likes of Brendan Favola and Ben Cousins, we've seen people who have done, you know, significant issues have still been welcomed back to the game. I just think Steve Smith, you know, had his suspension, he had his penalty in regards to leadership, he served his penalty. He's clearly the best person to captain Australia. We've seen that Pat Cummins is likely to be the captain, and I see Crash Craddock reports that, and when Crash says it, it's almost certain to be true. I just think leading into an Ashes series where, you know, you can just see the intense scrutiny and the decisions that will have to be made there. If someone like Tim Payne had regularly captained before he became the Australian captain, if someone like he is under significant scrutiny, I could just think of the Fox commentary box and Warney, and I know that he's advocating for Pat Cummins, but I just think of the difficulty of doing that. Steve Smith is happy to do it. In fact, he'd be very keen to do it. Yes, it'd be a redemption story, and there'd be some criticism from some who would say that it's too soon, but look, I think all of us would feel like he's barely put a foot wrong after, let's face it, one of the greatest scandals of Australian cricket, and for me, he's the man rather than Pat Cummins.
I don't see how Pat Cummins is not the man, I've got to say. I know Australia's not got a history of backing in fast bowlers as captain. Ray Linwell back in 1956 in a one-off against India. But the notion that fast bowlers can't captain cricket teams, I think, is absolutely absurd. You've got, dare I say it, Courtney Walsh was a great captain of the West Indies. Sean Pollock, South Africa.
Was he a great captain, Courtney Walsh?
Oh, I think he was a very, very good captain. Certainly early 90s. I mean, they were still a very powerful team.
Yep. I was just thinking of being biased because of his name there, but I agree with you, Walshy. Yes, Sean Pollock.
Sean Pollock, fantastic captain of South Africa. Bob Willis, you know, for England, was a Macram. You've had some outstanding cricketers captain in their team. Pat Cummins is seen as articulate, thoughtful, clearly a champion bowler.
Yep.
A person that's risen to the occasion. Very rare that he's let Australia down. I would find it hard to believe he'd let Australia down here. And the other thing is, he will have experienced players in that team to help him make decisions. He can say to C. Smith Field in the second slip, are you seeing anything? Can you tell me? What are you seeing there? They're in it to win the Ashes. I think it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, yes. Patrick Cummins can be the face of the Australian cricket side, and then on the park that you can have a collective leadership group that from Tim Payne to Steve Smith to David Warner, there's a lot of smart individuals there when it comes to cricket, Johnny Ralph there. So you would imagine that they would be working as a team and everyone can have their say on the field if they see something that others don't.
It's fine. And, you know, if we win this Ashes series, you know, 4 or 5 nil, that's fantastic. I just think of the powder keg moments. I think of, you know, with Nathan Lyons getting, you know, being taken to the cleaners by Stokes. I think of the fact that if, you know, if it is that Mitch Stark is struggling again and all of a sudden, you know, he only gets a couple of overs and all of a sudden Pat Cummins brings himself on for him and all the speculation about that. I think if you lined up Steve Smith and Pat Cummins against the wall and you said, who would you like to captain Australia to win an Ashes series, I think it would be a no-brainer that it would be Steve Smith. Yeah. Now, yeah, again, clearly once we've just had two significant scandals and they're looking for a clean skin, I understand why they'll go for Pat Cummins, but I think the other bloke is superior in terms of all the experiences he's had over all those tests that he captained Australia, and that's the reason I'd go for him.
Just before we get on to a few other topics here on our Tuesday forum, if you're the PR individual for Cricket Tassie or Cricket Australia, Walshy, and I'll put you can put your PR hat on as well, Ralphie. What do you do in that situation with Tim Payne? So how should have Australian cricket or Cricket Australia handled this differently?
In terms of the initial statement that Cricket Tasmania put out, I think I'd rethink that statement. I'm not so sure that was a great idea to, I think it opens up allegations of victim blaming, and that's a poor look at a time where there is a scandal already unfolding. I think the Cricketers Association's statement, I know you have to support your player and you're part of the union, but again, I think it could have been better phrased. We know that he and his wife have done an interview with News Corp on Sunday trying to, I suppose, explain or get ahead of the story. It hasn't necessarily quietened it. Probably won't until the first test till we know whether he's playing or not. It's interesting.
Ralphie?
Yeah, isn't it interesting too? I mean, you know, it's sort of, you know, with all these performance-enhancing drug issues, is that the first time you've ever taken it? And so, you know, Hamish did a great job and Hamish is, you know, perfect at these kind of interviews. But, you know, I think he would have loved to have asked the question of Bonnie, did you ask your husband, is this the first sext? Is this the first time that you had temptation and weren't able to resist it? It's a question he would have loved to have asked, but I'm sure he wasn't able to, given the parameters of it as well. So, yeah, and as Walshy says, you may. It's a great point about the victim blaming. You said that this was an allegation that was investigated and we got to a stage where there were two consenting adults and there was no issue to be had. When you put out those kind of statements where you're trying to smear the victim, I think it just shows again the cricket and all sports that they cover their asses, they support their own. And so, yeah, it casts doubt into the investigation itself.
But isn't the case where private lives are just private? Because people have, like, people live their lives differently to others, Ralphie.
Captain of Australia.
Well, yeah, what do you mean? But if you're a captain of Australia and you, like, I don't think people's personal life should take into account your job as the captain of this country.
Yeah,
maybe if you do other things, but not with your private life when it comes to the way that you want to live your life.
Yeah, I think that's why it's so difficult. I mean, you know, this is sexting. You know, it's not adultery. You know, which was confirmed by him in that interview. You know, and there's a million people out there that have been in positions of power that have been involved in adultery. But you know, I think it's why people like us in our 40s now just don't understand the sexting culture there. But so there's flirting, there's adultery, there are all these kind of things. I just think when an official complaint is made. Even in light of the fact that you know, that Tim Payne was exonerated, I think that takes it to a level where he's not fit to be the Australian captain anymore.
Yeah, look, Ralphie has basically said what I was going to say. Once the complaint is made, it becomes a story because he is the Australian captain. Even if he was a Tasmanian cricketer, it is something that is a story. Now, it's, you know, I'm very much in terms of respecting boundaries. Of privacy and some things that are reported, but as I said, the allegation was made. It was clearly investigated. It has to be. It's going to be reported.
10:45, Gareth Hall, Courtney Walsh, and Johnny Ralph with you on the Tuesday forum. We'll take a quick break. We'll talk about the situation with Peng Shuai's situation in China, and hopefully she might even come to Australia for the Australian Open, and also the situation regarding the Collingwood superstar Jordan De Goey. Who will he come back to Collingwood or will he not? Craig McRae had a chat about that yesterday on Collingwood's first day back to pre-season training. And would you love to see Very Elegant miss a Cox plate and head to France to compete in the Arc de Triomphe? Let us know, 0416 90 50 52. It's 10:48, Gareth Hall with you, Courtney Walsh, and of course, Johnny Ralph, the Tuesday Forum. What's going on with Jordan Ugoa? If you had a crystal ball halfway through the season, what would he be doing, Johnny Ralph?
Well, I think he'd be just coming back to the Collingwood Football Club regards to his on-field participation. Yeah, I think there is a high percentage of him either mitigating those charges or having them reduced, you know, potentially effectively what we call a suspended sentence. And I think at that stage there, Collingwood would still feel like the circumstances in which he, you know, has admitted to punching someone, the circumstances in which they weren't able to contact him, I think they'll do a Stevie J. Now, unfortunately, they've already done a Stevie J on him before, but I just can't see any way in which Collingwood can just welcome him back with open arms and say, job's right, mate. All the times you've lied to us, all the times you've failed to improve your conduct, you're playing round one. And so Jordan can do what he wants. He can, you know, stand out of football. He can say, I'm not playing with Collingwood. But I would imagine that they just have to leverage with him with an internal suspension, you know, regardless of the result of that court case.
Is it a case that if Nathan Buckley was still coaching the Collingwood Football Club, Jordan would be in a little bit of trouble because Nathan's tried to help him out and tried to get through to him that what the requirements are to be a professional footballer. But if Craig McRae is a new coach, this is his first season, of course, with the Collingwood Football Club, he might be saying, well, just let me have a crack at him.
I also think that it's the players. Yeah. If I was a player, I'd feel so let down by Jordan Ugoa. You know, all the times he's, you know, he has not been involved in that football club because of his on-field actions. All the times he hasn't been the best player that he could be because of his actions. And so, you know, whether it's, you know, Craig McRae setting the culture, I think it would also be the Taylor Adams and the Scotty Penderbys of the world who just say, mate, enough's enough. Just stop being a goose, mate. Just try and get your best out of yourself. You know, we might just be winning premierships if you were the best player in the game, which you had the talent to be.
Walshy?
Yeah, and it's not just the players as well. It's the administration, everyone else that has gone through time and again trying to help him through scandals or dealing with scandals. To not get a phone call initially is problematic, I think. I don't doubt he'll be suspended. But I, similar to Ralphie, I think in this situation, because there is a new coach, there is some prospect of perhaps redemption. But I guess we wait and see.
Geez, it looked like there were a few sides that are ready to win a premiership next year on the opening day of pre-season. Buddy looked the goods up there in Sydney. Scotty Pendlebury was there for the Collingwood Football Club. Braden Maynard, you saw big Tommy Lynch back there. I saw Patrick Cripps running around the athletics track. And it was interesting. I like seeing the new coaches or the new players in different colours. And David Teague, there's a picture of him in the Herald Sun today, and he's got a new haircut, and he just looks a lot less stressed, basically.
How good is it, too, to see these kind of guys? I mean, he was at absolute rock bottom. He'll get a bit of a payout from the Carlton Football Club, but, you know, we're taping a new series of sacked. So many of these senior coaches just sunk without a trace. You know, they coached their last senior game, and they never returned to the fold again. So, now, can I give you my top five people in the AFL under pressure? Because, you know, I think Paddy Cripps is one of them. I'd put him in no particular order, but I just think, given the season that he had, you know, given some of the injuries, but given the, you know, lack of spread from a contest, I think there's some question marks about whether he can reclaim his place in the AFL's elite after two pretty quiet years. Dylan Shield's another one for me where, you know, again, you know, they played a heck of a lot of money for him. It's not apparent where he plays in the Essendon midfield, and I think he'll have the fire in the belly. Nathan Fyfe's doctor. You know, it is possible that Nathan Fyfe won't play another game of AFL again. Like, that would just be a horrific situation. As Walshy, you said, you know, if he is able to play, he may well win a third Brownlow medal, which is just rarefied air in this competition. Stuart Jew, for obvious reasons. And just another one. It might be harsh, but Matty Rowell. I think we're all looking to see whether Matty Rowell can still be one of the great players in the competition. He just had a year, didn't he? Coming off, you know, a knee and a shoulder and all those kind of things. But, yeah, clearly his initial form wasn't a flash in the pan, given what we've seen from his junior career. But, you know, there's some players out there who aren't just doing beach weights right now. They are working their asses off to try and, you know, become the players that that we hope they can be.
Courtney, do you agree or disagree?
I guess it's a different form of pressure. It depends on how you define it, because perhaps with Stuart Jew aside, I could not see any of those players not being on their club's lists in 2023. I would have thought you're more in under more pressure if your place on a club list is in doubt. With Patrick Cripps, I do remember seeing him, late October on the Gold Coast in 2020, heavily in a sling, clearly just having been operated on. I do feel like guys that have, a shorter break, then come back to footy the next year without having had the proper time to do a full pre-season, sometimes it can catch up with you. So I do think that there's some benefits of the doubt that should be given to Cripps to Matty Rowell, who we know has had some injury issues, and obviously Dylan Scheel as well. I think the benefit of the doubt should be given in those situations. And we know they were all coming off big injuries in 2020, and it was a difficult time for the game.
Yeah, I think it's a situation with all of those players that they just need to get their bodies right. If they can get a fair crack at the pre-season, and then there's no excuses really for them after that, and usually they play some pretty good football if they've got a preparation behind them. But it'll be an interesting season. I think the Saints are under a little bit of pressure as well after showing plenty in 2020 and then disappointing this year. I want to touch on the Chinese tennis player situation, Courtney, and you would have been following this story closely as well. Peng Shuai, and she made a complaint about a high-ranking Chinese government official alleging sexual assault, basically. Then she went missing and we couldn't find her, but we have found her, which is great news. Well, she wants to be left alone.
Well, that's certainly one. It's certainly great that we've seen evidence of her being alive. You could argue that there is clear propaganda at play here as well, Gareth, given the circumstances, yeah. the repeated references to dates on videos, the still shot of Thomas Bach, who was coincidentally photographed with the man that she has accused of, inappropriate behaviour towards her back in 2016. It's very hard to walk away. I think the WTA has been very brave. Steve Simon has been very brave in terms of being so outspoken, but he has to be because this is a player who was on the tour until February 2020. It's hard to walk away. We saw even overnight, I noticed a job advertisement from Tennis Australia advertising for a specialist social media person to engage with the Chinese audience over the next 4 weeks. Weibo, WeChat. The Grand Slam of the Asia Pacific has such ties to it. The WTA, half of their prize money came from China. So there's a lot at stake here in every regard, but human rights is clearly the most important issue for everyone, I think. And this is a situation where it's very, very murky, I think, and very, very sad and disheartening.
Well, you got a couple of the biggest names in the game asking questions and wanting answers as well, led by Serena Williams. So I think it's a situation where the tennis community have banded together to make sure that the right thing happens, Walshy.
Oh, without a doubt, because it's a playing peer of theirs.
Yep.
And the other factor is, the other concerning factor is that there are players in China who you would hope will be coming to Australia, but you just don't know what unfolds in these sort of situations. If it was a blanket walk away or a blanket withdrawal, is it the end of those players' careers as well? There's a lot of factors at play, and I don't think any of it is easy. It's clearly sort of walking a tightrope in terms of how best to protect Peng Shuai, who is a terrific player, dual Grand Slam champion in doubles, former world number one, beat Venus Williams, Kim Clijsters in singles. With what's happening in terms of other players and also the tournaments, it's really an intriguing situation and one that I suspect the rest of the world, in terms of their ties with China, will be watching really closely.
Isn't it amazing, though? I mean, you look at all the criticism of Qatar and all the sports washing and all of the players who accept prize money to go across to those, Dubai events there. And the human rights abuses in China, the million people almost in, concentration camps. And yet we're giving them a Winter Olympics, and they've had a Summer Olympics quite recently. And all of a sudden, a high-profile sportsman, disappears without a trace. And we're outraged by that. And now that we see Peng Shuai, in that video, and she spoke to Thomas Bach, park. Oh, everything's fantastic again. Yeah. It'd be great to see you able to travel to Australia. And, you know, I always look at so many of those Zoom press conferences, almost hostage victim statements. You know, that's how bizarre they look. You know, it'd be interesting to see who was off the side to her. And so, look, I think when she's shown to be able to travel freely and out of China, I think there'll be a bit, you know, we'll be more reassured. But, you know, again, some of the things that go on in China there. And, we just condone so much sport in China. And yet, across other parts of the world, there's so much criticism.
In the Middle East, there's big sporting superstars that head out to the Formula One's the perfect example of what's happening this weekend. And you see some of the biggest names in sport heading there. So money can talk all languages at the end of the day, Walshy and Johnny Ralph. But talking about redemption, if anyone wants to, an athlete that's been knocked down and had to face controversy and been in the headlines for all of the wrong reasons, but has always found a way to come back and to get everybody on side. Well, Tiger Woods is the perfect example there. And wasn't it superb to see him hitting golf balls there the other day? And this, I know he's had a few comebacks, Tiger, but this would be the greatest of them all.
I would have thought.
I was going to say when he drained that putt to win the Masters after the last one, you thought that's incredible. No, you're right, Gareth. It would be incredible. I did note with envy that he seemed to be hitting those, pitching wedges very, very close to the pin, which. Just watch with envy because I know that I'll be spraying them 10 metres wide at the peak of my physical health.
And surely there's a movie, Ralphie, surely.
There's a 50-part miniseries there, isn't it? Netflix series. We think about The Last Dance. And at some stage, someone will do he'll have to have his imprimatur as well, but someone will do a Last Dance-style thing on him. Tiger Woods never throws out those social media little nuggets of gold, you know, without deep thinking about it, without brand strategy, without the fame makers thinking, okay, well, what does this mean? That showed me that Tiger Woods will return to the tour again. I wonder about the timing of it. You think, you know, would he find his way back just for the Masters? Would he play a lead-up tournament? You know, the fact that Tiger is out there, you know, chipping. I know it's only chipping. It's nowhere near, you know, hundreds and hundreds of balls hitting driver on the range. But Tiger Woods will play again, and it will be one of the great comebacks we have ever seen. It'll be an absolute circus and just bring on every single moment of it.
What about the NFL? Geez, it's been a funny old season, Ralphie. There's a few upsets there each and every week. It's really hard to follow. I'm starting to learn the game of the NFL, and people are telling me, well, this is the side to beat. This side can't get beat, and they get smashed. And I'm thinking, well, you guys have got no idea. But the Buccaneers take on the Giants today. The Buccaneers are the favourites for the Super Bowl with Tom Brady, and he's once again built a terrific side around him. Do they just get the job done today?
I would hope so. I know they've had a couple of recent losses, but it seems like the only locks in NFL are Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, as they have been for 20 years. I mean, you know, we saw Tennessee got rolled. We saw Buffalo, who were supposed to be the Super Bowl favourites, got rolled as well. I think the four favourites for the championship all got rolled on the weekend. You know, Belichick, so many people over the last year when he was struggling there with Cam Newton as his stepping quarterback were saying, okay, maybe it is Tom Brady. Maybe he was the power behind the throne there. Maybe he was the only reason that Belichick fired. Now Belichick has his team up and running, you know, with a new young quarterback. He's not mobile. He's not flashy. He hasn't got massive arm strength like a Mahomes or a Josh Allen, but he just delivers the ball on time, on target, all the things that you want in a Bill Belichick quarterback. So I think Chris Collinsworth, the Monday Night special comments man, said, I've been to four Super Bowls where I have been commentating, and they've all involved New England. And so to think New England might be charging again, it's been a crazy, topsy-turvy, batshit crazy season, but it's been absolutely compulsive viewing.
You think of the three global superstars, or three of the global superstars of the sport, Gareth, in the last 20 years, and you see Tom Brady still, you know, leading the favourites for the Super Bowl. Tiger, clearly there's big doubts, but we hope we can make it back. And Roger Federer in the last week as well, obviously, withdrawing from the Australian Open. The hope he might be able to get to Wimbledon, but it doesn't necessarily seem convincing. You know, we might have seen the last of two of the great superstars of the last two decades in Federer and Woods. Hope that's not the case. And yet we get to see Tom Brady playing week in, week out. Yeah. He'll be going at 50.
Amazing. Well, he wants to play beyond 50, they tell me. Now, a few SMSs before we say goodbye. Who cares? He sent some messages as did she. Private matter, move on. Nothing to see here. Talk sports on a sports program. Go the Dons. That's from Posty Troy. Good on you, Troy. Well, last time I looked, Troy boy, he was the captain of the Australian cricket side. The Lakers and the Pistons are scheduled to meet next week. That could be interesting to watch. What will happen? Could it end in fisticuffs? Well, Isaiah Stewart has to get time, doesn't he, for pushing over umpires and players. And if, as we pointed out yesterday, we had a player that got 6 weeks for just brushing an umpire in Toby Green. This young man was just like a bulldozer, Walshy.
It was extraordinary scenes. It was remarkable. I mean, I know you can see the red mist if you get clobbed in the nose at the best of times, but that was just completely out of control. Okay.
Well, he's got suspended, Stuart, for 2 games, and LeBron got a 1-game suspension. So there you go. Which surprises me.
LeBron, you'd say, oh, gee whiz, he meant that. But I mean, LeBron's been so squeaky clean throughout his entire career. It might have been one of the first times he's ever been suspended. So, but, you know, mostly LeBron knows exactly where his elbows are. So clearly doing much more than boxing out. It was fantastic. Mm-hmm. It was all the things we shouldn't see in sport. But when you saw Isaiah Stewart getting up the head of steam and trying to get to LeBron, oh, it was still fantastic.
Three Stooges on cricket. Payne didn't win the Ashes as he was poor at captaining in the Stokes Test, just average in batting and very poor in the field, and won the toss at the Oval and bowled, then failed as the captain keeper and lost the series against India. Never made a Test century and nothing special in other areas. He must go. It's from one of our listeners. It'll be interesting to see what happens there. Are you serious, Gareth? If Payne was drunk and disorderly in his private life, is that okay as well? Payne's private life has to be clean as Australian captain. How do you want standards to go? That's from Lex from Essendon. And why do we need the top five under pressure? That's too negative, Ralphie. Well, you're trying to inspire them, aren't you, Johnny?
Yeah, we are. We're trying to light a fire under those guys, and that's what sport's about. It's about the glorious victors, but it's also about the redemption stories and the guys who thrive under pressure.
Good on you, Ralphie. Good on you, Walshy, and enjoy your week.
Thank you, sir.
Absolutely. Thanks, Gareth.
Johnny Ralph from the Herald Sun. Thanks to the Ascot Vale Hotel and also Courtney Welsh there with the Tuesday Forum. It's 11:05 and he's